Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, whose grace and truth have brought us to this hour, we praise thee for thy loving kindness and for the invitation to worship thee. We thank thee for colleges, universities, and theological schools in which the learning process is carried on under the inspiration and in harmony with the mind of Jesus Christ. We are especially grateful for those who gladly learn and gladly teach on this campus, and for all the friends of this seminary. We remember in thy presence those who have recently come through very difficult experiences, those who carry heavy burdens and are responsible for difficult decisions. Beyond ourselves and the enterprise to which we devote our intelligence and energy, we pray, O God, for the whole human family, most of whom are unknown to us by name and face, but all of whom are dear to thee. Enable us by thy Spirit to speak what is true and to do what is right. In the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Let us read responsively selection number 47 on Christian discipleship. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It is not inappropriate for me to thank my colleagues and all of you for the orderly and thorough work which has been in process on this campus for several days. I am deeply grateful to each one. I have the privilege at this time to announce, upon the recommendation of the Committee of Faculty and Administration, 4 scholarships. And I should like for the person who has been chosen to receive one of these scholarships to stand as his name is called. And I trust that all of us remember that we stand in the presence not only of one another, but also of God. The Noel Scholarship has been endowed by Dr. and Mrs. George Noel of Kannapolis, North Carolina. Their son, George Noel III, was pre-registered in this school. I shall never forget the joyous conversation I had with him the day before his death. He was teaching in a daily vacation Bible school in Raleigh, and without a moment's warning, was killed in an automobile accident. His father and mother and a few friends have endowed a scholarship in his memory. The fund is invested. The income will be used each year for a student in this school. And the scholarship goes this year to Mr. Richard D. Smith. If Mr. Smith is present, I'd like for him to stand. The First Baptist Church of Raleigh, North Carolina, provides annually 2 scholarships under the business and financial plan of the Southern Baptist Convention. We cannot, in good conscience, ask any church for any money, but there is nothing in the words or spirit of that document that forbids us to receive money from churches who take the initiative in giving it. The First Baptist Church of Raleigh provides an annual scholarship in honor of Dr. Sidnor Staley, the first president of this school, and in memory of Dr. J.B. Weatherspoon, who for a number of years taught on this campus. This year, the Staley scholarship goes to Mr. Philip Parker. Is Mr. Parker present? Thank you. The Weatherspoon Scholarship goes to Mr. John Mann. Is Mr. Mann present? Thank you. As a part of a recommendation which originated with Dr. John Durham, the trustees now provide 1 scholarship. I wish we had from that group through the same method 30. We have 1. It's called Special Trustee Scholarship. It goes this year to Mr. Ron Medlin. Is Mr. Medlin present? Thank you very much. It seems right also, in this mood of recognition of those who use their minds in the advancement of the gospel, to call attention to the fact that I found on my desk this morning a copy of a book by Dr. James Leo Green, the senior member of our faculty, entitled God Reigns, Expository Studies in the Prophecy of Isaiah. My wife and I were at Ridgecrest at the Bible Conference Week when this book was released. And we shall not soon forget the affirmative response and the joy in our hearts, Dr. Green, as this book was released. Books by other members of the faculty in translation or in original composition, as well as scholarly articles, will appear from time to time during the autumn. For all of this creative work, we thank God and take courage. A few months ago, Dr. James Gustafson, who seems to be emerging as one of the ablest men in the field of Christian ethics in the United States, published an article entitled "Maturity in the Decision-Making Process." He had some profound things to say in the article, which is now available to all of us. He referred, I suppose to bring something really concrete into the discussion, to rules imposed upon him by a companion in their adolescent years in the Midwest as they hunted rabbits. One rule was that they were not to use shotguns, they were to use rifles. Secondly, they were not to use automatic repeating rifles, but single-shot rifles. And to complicate their assignment further, there was a third rule. They were to use the single-shot rifle in hunting rabbits only as they reclined on the fenders of an A-model Ford. One might ask two questions. One, why are these rules? And in the second place, why shoot the rabbits anyway? If Dr. Schweitzer's reverence for life has relevance to rabbits, why shoot them? But we're going to have more than rules in the decision-making process. And it is this something more that I want to bring into our thought in these moments. I want to talk a little while about perspective amidst revolutionary change. The securities of this world are crumbling, and human minds feel the strain of revolutionary forces. As Dr. Samuel H. Miller wrote a few months before his death in a book entitled Man the Believer, we find these words about the impact of revolutionary change upon us. We suffer the impact far within the sensitive brain, the aching heart. In these days of peril and pain, we learn to deal intelligently with change. We witness change not only in the normal processes of growth, but also in momentous decisions in this nation, in international relations, and in the world economy. We have to anticipate change, to discern its direction, to estimate its rate, and to evaluate its consequences. In order to perform this task with competence and precision, the first requirement is clarity of vision. Learned leaders of institutes now acknowledge this. Some of them have said recently, we bring together men of superior intelligence, and we have access to a large body of knowledge. What is lacking in the institutes of learned men is perspective. This is a dimension of the decision-making process in which Christian thinkers at their best can play a crucial role. Perspective is defined as the science of sight. It is the power of human perception, the ability to see things as they are, precisely and at great depth. This capability of the human mind is creative imagination, but it is more than creative imagination. It is spiritual and moral discernment. It is the ability of a Christian thinker to interpret change, not only in terms of social trends, important as they are, but also in the perspective of the mind of Christ. In the decision-making process, we may provide perspective by clear vision, especially if it is a clear vision of Jesus Christ. This gives us, in the dimension of religion, what Archimedes, the Greek mathematician and physicist, was seeking in the dimension of space as early as 212 BC. Although nine of his treatises survive, we know only a few facts about his life. He is reported to have said, "Give me a place to stand, and I will move the world." You and I, as interpreters of life, are equipped, or we may be equipped, to deal intelligently with change in the light of the mission and the message of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He manifested in human history, Barncom reminds us, the integrity, the compassion for persons, and the unbroken devotion to the will of God. This clear vision of integrity, clothed with gentleness, of compassion as well as indignation in the presence of injustice, this unbroken obedience to a sense of mission in the Father's will, enable us to speak honestly and wisely about the desirable direction of change in man, in the church, in the community, and in the social order. Apart from this source of knowledge beyond ourselves, we cannot deal intelligently with change in ourselves or in our institutions. This knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the durable revelation of the purpose of God, comes to us primarily through the Bible. In the pages of the New Testament, if we read them with discernment, we learn what is deeply characteristic of our Lord and what he taught. All of his teaching, of which we have a record, could have been spoken in less than 2 hours. But his message, in word and in deed, is so penetrating, so true, so relevant, that it illuminates the human pilgrimage amidst the complexities of the contemporary world and gives the perspective in which revolutionary change can be interpreted, with the assurance that after the shaking of the earth, including the shaking of man and of men and of nations, after the shaking of the earth, and it is shaking, the things that cannot be shaken will remain. There is an exceptionally clear message in the letter of to Hebrews for members of the Christian community who know that there is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, who offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, and who bring perspective into the interpretation of change. Here it is. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In the days and years ahead, you will interpret change in the light of what you have learned from him. And in this delicate and difficult task, you will be undergirded and sustained by the living God, who knows us, each one, as we are, and loves us. Let us pray. Grant unto us, O God, in our going forth and in our coming in, clarity of vision, precision of expression, genuine love for thee and for one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord.